As a plane was preparing for landing on Iranian soil, I could never have dreamt in my wildest imagination what would happen a few years later in this very same airspace. There you have it. On January 8 of 2020, this aircraft was shot down and 176 passengers never reached their destination. Iran and the world deeply mourn the loss of their very precious loved ones. And all hell broke loose. And if this tragedy did not cause enough pain and anger and death of Iran's military leader, his death was added to this traumatic experience. Mourners at Azad Square, Tehran. Soleimani was killed on January the 3rd, 2020. The funeral ceremony of Soleimani in Tehran was described as the largest in Iran since the funeral of Khomeini, Ayatollah Khomeini. He was the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran in 1989. You know, I feel so sorry for the people in Iran. Kind people. Even before the two shocking events that I've just discussed, Iranians started to show contempt for their political system. And this is a worldwide phenomenon going on in the 2020s. 2019 and 2020 has seen many uprisings like this one, not only in Iran, but in many other countries around the globe. My friend, what is happening? Who's behind the demonstrations? Who's behind the looting of property, the killing of precious people? Who's behind this? Have you ever thought that there could be some other being behind all this chaos? It goes beyond petrol hikes and rising costs of living in Iran. There is another common enemy that is out to destroy property, authorities, and precious lives of people. And this person, being, wants to destroy you. And we should know about these tragedies. During my recent visit to Iraq, city of Najaf, I never thought that the Iranian embassy would become a victim of their anger. Look at the cell phones taking pictures of the embassy of Iran in Iraq. Would images like this bring peace or anger? You know, retaliation is exponential. You have to forgive to end the fight. And nobody is prepared to forgive and reconcile. Najaf has the largest cemetery in the world called Wadi As-Salam. Not only for Iraqis, but many Iranian Shiite Muslims are buried here. Approximately 500,000 new bodies are interred in the cemetery annually from across the globe. So this is a fascinating place to be buried, according to some minds. Wadi As-Salam, or Valley of Peace. Right now, my friend, it's one of the safest places on the planet. Nobody disturbs you there. Let us put politics on hold while I share my experience with you during my visit to Iran. Earlier that specific morning, I was looking out of the window, saw the little lights. The lights of Tehran brought a new strange excitement in my inquisitive mind. We have just landed on one of the world's most powerful ancient empires. This is the tomb of Cyrus at Pasargadae in Iran. Now, before telling you about Cyrus and his defeat of the mighty Babylonian Empire, I need to give you a profile of one of the greatest leaders this world has ever seen. During my visit to Iran, I bought this beautiful, illustrated and interesting book. Now, first of all, we have to decode the name of the book. The Land of Mar and Ma. What could these words mean? You have to ascertain the meaning before you can appreciate the book. Mer, very important, it's an important Persian word which means love, affection. These are emotions. It also means sun. So it's a beautiful word speaking about many things. Ma means moon or month in Persian Farsi language. Let me share the author's profile that he gives of Cyrus in this specific book. He respected all beliefs while keeping his own firmly. Did you get this? He reigns over hearts besides territories. This is Cyrus the Great. That is why the Persians bestowed on him the title of Patriarch. The Greeks called him Lord and Legislator. The Jews entitled him Messiah of God. And the Muslims gave him the title Zulqarnain. That means the possessor of two centuries. So he transcends time. A righteous servant of God and the possessor of the first empire with a freedom charter. This is interesting. The first. He was also the first king who struggled for the peaceful coexistence of diverse nations. I think we need Cyrus the Great right now to give us advice concerning the mess this planet is in. He was the much-loved king who preserved in his heart, now listen to this, the love for a single spouse till he passed away. Man, I like this. The unique king whose human rights decree made Persia's name eternal. You know, sometimes we're just looking at the war and the conflicts. Hey, let's go back and study the life of Iran's greatest leader ever. And how does the Bible depict this great man in its chapters? This is a writing of Cyrus the Great. He says, I am Cyrus the King, an Achaemenid. And when you read the cuneiform, you discover it's written in Old Persian, in Elamite, and Akkadian. He was such a gentleman that he allowed all the people to read and understand what he's trying to tell them. It's good to communicate in different ways, body language and literal language. Before Cyrus could become the new world ruler, he had to get rid of the mighty Babylonian Empire. And this is what the former president of Iraq is telling us in this painting. So he must have studied the biography of Cyrus. Saddam is looking at the direction of two ancient rulers. The first one next to his face is Nebuchadnezzar. And the one just before the horses, that is Cyrus the Great. In 538, the combined army of Cyrus the Great and his uncle, as well as father-in-law of the Medes, called Cyrus II, conquered Babylon. By the way, Cyrus Sayacheres II is also called Darius the Mede in the book of Daniel. Now, how did they manage to conquer this mighty Babylonian empire? Xenophon's Cyropedia, most reliable and exhaustive source concerning the way in which Cyrus And Sahasrara conquered the strongest and wealthiest, biggest metropolis in the world. But the most remarkable prophecy concerning the capture is found in the Bible. Almost 200 years before his birth, it's a long time, a prophet called Isaiah predicted the way in which Cyrus was going to capture Babylon. You know, the first time I read this, I was amazed. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens, beautiful imagery, all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. God reveals him in all his majesty. By the prophet Isaiah, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness, Isaiah 44 verse 25, who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited. This only happened many, many decades later. Who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, because Nebuchadnezzar took everybody into exile. To the cities of Judah, you shall build, and I will raise up her waste places. A beautiful prophecy given long before his birth. And it all happened. Who says to the deep, be dry, that's the Euphrates, and I will dry up your rivers. You know, when I visit these sites, this is Euphrates running next to the ruins of ancient Babylon. It speaks to my heart. The Bible is such a beautiful book. My Iranian friends, just have a look at it. Don't neglect the Iran, but look at the Bible as well. Any relationship of the drying up of the Euphrates River and the book of Revelation. That's the last book in the Bible. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. Now when you hear the word shepherd, it brings up beautiful images. And he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid. There was nothing left of the temple. Typology. Have you ever heard of typology? Speaking of a literal, ethnic, geographical situation, person, city, which points to something much greater. Here's a prophecy that he's going to do this, but who's going to pay the bill? We're talking of trillions of dollars in our modern language. Who's going to pay for this? And here comes out the beautiful character of Cyrus the great hero of the Iranian people. Thus says the Lord to his, listen to this verse, anointed. This is a very, very special word. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. Why? To subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. That's the gates of the Babylonian city. Typology. I will go before you. So God was intimately involved in the life of Cyrus. My dear Iranian friends, have you heard this before? God says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron, speaking of the ancient city of Babylon. This happened prophecy was fulfilled on the 12th October 539. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. Now, I know everybody doesn't like Israel, but let's go back. Israel was a bit different in those days. Now, what does the Bible call him? We've listened to that specific book. He was called by different wonderful names by the people of antiquity. But what does the Bible call him? Shepherd. Shepherd. This is a tender word that brings emotions of protection, of kindness. Anointed. This word is applied only to another anointed one. But here the Bible applies it to Cyrus as well. Title of honor. Title of honor. Set captives free. Millions of them. All these titles belong to Jesus. He is the shepherd. He is the anointed. He is the title. He has the title of honor. He sets captives free. So in the study of Cyrus, you get the profile of another deliverer called Jesus. He was such an exceptional good ruler that the Bible compares his deliverance actions of the exiles to the coming Messiah, who's going to free captives of sin like you and me. Oh, the Bible is such a wonderful book. I encourage you to read it. The restored banquet hall by Saddam Hussein. Can you remember the last wicked Babylonian king that was killed by Cyrus? The Bible calls him Belshazzar, and recently he was discovered in archaeology, Belshazzar. How did the prophet Isaiah view the wicked Babylonian kings? And this to me is interesting. Here we've got another type and an anti-type. The burden against Babylon which Isaiah the son of Amos saw. Isaiah uses the literal wicked king as a type of the antitypical king of Babylon, the devil. Now, one of the most wicked kings was Belshazzar. He came to an end. And now the Bible says, this is typology, the greatest enemy of all time, the devil, will also be demised, killed. I'm going to the book of Isaiah, where he explains the typology. He says, how are you fallen from heaven? That is the other antitypical Babylonian king. He's astonished. How are you fallen from heaven? What? From heaven down to this planet? Oh, Lucifer. That was his original name. Son of the morning. Beautiful imagery. How are you cut down to the ground? You who weakened the nations. He's asking interesting questions. For you have said in your heart, now this is the explanation why he became a devil. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He wanted to be the number one. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. He wanted to be where God was. We should always remember we are created beings. We are not deities. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be like the Most High. And then, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. That's death. To the lowest depth of the pit. Lucifer, you who bedevil the entire planet at this stage will be killed. And my friend, keep heart. Soon this enemy will be no more. This is a prophecy, and I believe every prophecy that I read in the Bible. Shane, look at this. You know, I visited these sites, and to see them after the destruction is heartbreaking. Listen to the following statements concerning the mastermind behind our planet's disasters. We are living in the time of the end. Do you also feel that we've come to the end of our tether? The fast fulfilling signs of times declare that the coming of Christ, the Messiah, is near at hand. The days in which we live are solemn and important. No time for jokes and parties. The Spirit of God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. This is serious. God is preparing to destroy this wicked cesspool in the cosmos. Plagues and judgments are already falling upon the despisers of the grace of God. Have you noticed this? The calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society. You know, all the world sees these uprisings, these protests. Fulfillment of prophecy. The unsettled state of society, the alarms of war. Man, look at Al Jazeera, CNN. It's war all over. There's hardly any other news. The alarms of war are portentous. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. And who's the instigator? Listen to this next statement. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. You know, if we could withdraw the curtain and see what's behind it, where Satan and his angels are preparing for the great destruction that's coming. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in our world. Have you seen the changes? Man, it's like this, rapid movements. And the final movements will be rapid ones. You know, before presenting this lecture, I prayed that God would speak to your heart. My friend, time is almost gone. Eternity is on its way. And we have to be right with God. Another picture from Iran. What is the greatest complaint of the thousands of people on the streets, not only of Iran, but the world? What's the complaint? The corruption that prevails. It is beyond the power of the human pen to describe. Every day brings fresh revelations of political strife, bribery and fraud. You look at the news and put the statement next to the news. This is where we live on this planet. It's a matter of pressing a few buttons, and the overkill of our planet is 100 times. We can destroy this planet 100 times with the nuclear weapons we have. Every day brings its heart sickening record of violence and lawlessness. Looting shops, maybe you've seen it on television. Of indifference to human suffering. They kill one another without feeling it. Of course, full of drugs. Of brutal, fiendish destruction of human life. You know, when they show what happened after a bomb attack, and you see the corpses there lying. This is the world, the real world we are living in. Every day testifies to the increase of insanity, murder, and suicide. God wants us to come and live on a different planet. This one has had it. Who can doubt that satanic agencies? This explains what's happening in Iran. Who can doubt that satanic agencies are at work among men with increasing activity to distract and corrupt the mind and defile and destroy the body? This is the planet on which we live. And I blame you and you blame me. But my friend, we have to blame. It's not on God, but to the devil and his myriads of angels, wicked angels. What is the meaning of the words? Many, many tekel ufarsen. Your days have been counted, Nabonidus, first many. Your days have been counted, second many, Belshazzar. Because Cyrus is on his way. Cyrus is coming to make an end to the Babylonian corruption and oppression. Not only in the historical, physical, ancient Babylon, but the Babylon of this planet, the confusion. Here is a message on the walls of ancient Babylon. Cyrus is coming. The great anointed Christ is coming. The night of October 12, 539, this mighty Euphrates dried up. And Cyrus made his way into this impregnable city. And my friend, what did he do with the captives who were suffering so immensely? You have to study this to appreciate what Christ is going to do. While John was on the Isle of Patmos, he had a vision of seven last plagues to be poured out on the wicked. When he saw the sixth plague in vision, the history of Cyrus and the Euphrates captured his mind. You know, when I visited Patmos, these things went through my mind. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up. Why? So that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. The water had to be dried up. Babylon would never have been destroyed. The river had to be dried up. Now, what is the symbolic meaning of waters of the river? And just another question. How many kings were involved in the victory over Babylon? The Bible says there were two. Read Daniel 5 and 6. The one was Cyrus the Great. The other one was called Darius the Mede, before becoming the king of the combined Medo-Persian Empire. He was called Sahasrara II. He was a Mede who lived in Ecbatana. But him and the Persians combined and they conquered the mighty Babylon. Two came to conquer Babylon. Then he said to me, "The waters which you saw," and now he's interpreting his own prophecy, "where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues." The water represents bad people, wicked people. Waters dried up in the time of Cyrus. When Jesus comes, wicked people will dry up like the Euphrates. The literal drying up of the literal Euphrates and the destruction of the literal Babylon brings good news. Two kings, with their unnumbered angels, will soon be on their way to destroy Satan and his followers, God the Father and God the Son. They're on their way to destroy the greatest enemy in the history of the cosmos. Hey, I'm looking forward to that day. And I've raised him up in righteousness, that's Cyrus. And I will direct all his ways, and he shall build my city. This is beautiful. and let my exiles go. There was no city, there was no temple, there were no people except a few paupers. And let my exiles go free. The cream was in Babylon, suffering. Not for price, nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. How much did he charge the exiles to send them from Babylon to Jerusalem on a 4-month journey on the Fertile Crescent? This was a matter of billions. They did not pay a shekel. What is God going to ask us to be transported, my friend, from the wicked Babylon of pain of this planet to the heavenly Jerusalem without pain, sickness? The journey to the place without pain, without hospitals and cemeteries, wars, is free. Can you believe it? Jeremiah has got this to say. You will call upon me and go and pray to me. And his reaction, if we do it, and I will listen to you. God listens to us. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Not half of your heart. If you seek God with all your heart, he will reveal himself to you. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. What a God, what a shepherd. And I will gather you from all the nations and from which I caused you to be carried away captives. They were scattered. I did research on the places where they were exiled to. Here's a prophecy. It says God will gather them from all over the planet and bring them to Jerusalem. My dear friend, have you been carried away to a foreign land of misery and pain because of your own transgressions and because of the work of the devil? Are you handcuffs of bitterness preventing you to forgive someone? You know, the world is in this mess because we retaliate continually. You have to forgive your enemies. We will not see this on a global scale. God wants you to forgive. I know it's not easy. You've been hurt deeply. But you have to forgive as God forgave you. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. God becomes my only real friend when I've lost my reputation, when I've messed up my life, the lives of other people. He does not reject me in the dark night of despair and remorse. Before Cyrus died, he had a conversation with his sons, recorded by Xenophon in his Cyropedia. You can also read the words of Jesus before he died in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, yeah, chapter 15 to 17. Now this is Cyrus speaking to his sons. All men have their frailties. Remember that you're not perfect. Don't expect others to be perfect. And whoever looks for a friend without imperfections will never find what he seeks. You're looking for a perfect husband. There's no perfect husband. You're looking for a perfect wife. You'll never find her. Try to be the perfect husband and wife. We love ourselves notwithstanding our faults. You know, I still carry on with myself. And we ought to love our friends in like manner. I like what Cyrus says. Love your friends in like manner. Your friends will disappoint you. They have done it in the past, they'll do it in the future. Forgive them. You can only grow when you forgive. You cannot be buried in obscurity. You are exposed upon a grand theater to the view of the world. If your actions are upright and benevolent, be assured they will augment your power and happiness. The Apostle Paul says, we are a spectacle. The word in the Greek Bible says theatron, like an ancient amphitheater. So the entire planet up there, and the myriads of galaxies, the universe, are watching you and me. You know, this is a shocking revelation. What valuable advice did Cyrus give his son, Cambyses, the oldest one? And you, Cambyses, you know of yourself, without words from me, that your kingdom is not guarded by this golden scepter. Have you seen Tutankhamun's scepter in the Cairo Museum? That your kingdom is not guarded by this golden scepter, but by faithful friends. Their loyalty is your true staff, a scepter which shall not fail. May our kindness to people be the scepter by which we communicate with them or rule over them, the scepter of kindness. Iranian people, you have a marvelous hero in Cyrus the Great. Read his material. I'm standing on Calvary in Jerusalem. At the cross of Calvary, love and selfishness stood face to face. You know what is selfishness? You know what is love? These are the two opposites. Here was their crowning manifestation. God was going to reveal something to the universe, and Satan was going to reveal his character to the universe. What did Jesus manifest on Calvary? Forgiving me by dying for me and giving me eternal life. I don't deserve it, my friend. Like Cyrus, he was seeking faithful, loyal, loving followers. And I want to be his faithful, loyal, lovely, loving follower. What was Satan demonstrating at his treatment of Jesus? He was demonstrating hatred and destruction. You should read it. Hatred and destruction of God. He wanted to destroy God and all of his creatures. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. Jesus and Christ appeal to us to be kind to every person we need, even the drivers of the highways. A loving and a lovable person is the greatest argument in favor of Christianity. The great statesman of South Africa, Mandela, one says, you cannot change society, forget it, but you can change your behavior. Christ's believing people are to perpetuate his love. This love is to draw them together around the cross. It is to divest them of all selfishness. That's our biggest problem. Divest them of all selfishness and bind them to God and to no other. The unselfish lives of Cyrus and Jesus call us to be unselfish and kind to every person we meet. Please try it after this lecture. To be kind to people, not to gossip about them. Put your arms around them. Listen to some of the more dying words of Cyrus to his son Cambyses. But never think that loyal hearts grow up by nature as the grass grows in the field. If that were so, the same men would be loyal to all alike, even as the natural objects are the same to all mankind. No, says Cyrus to Cambyses, every leader must win his own followers for himself. You have to win followers, they just don't come to you. And the way to win them is not by violence, but by loving kindness. The world is retaliating, and they think things will change. Einstein says, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, is a sure sign of insanity. Tell me, is the world insane? Paul says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And if you would seek for friends to stand by you and guard your throne, whoso fit to be the first of them as he who sprung from the selfsame loins? Remember my last saying, show kindness to your friends, and then shall you have it in your power to chastise your enemies. Goodbye, my dear son. Can you see the dying Cyrus? Last words. Bid your mother goodbye for me, and all my friends who are here or far away, goodbye. And then he died. At his tomb in Pasargadae, these words came back to me. Remember my last saying, show kindness to your friends. You know, we can be so hateful at times to our loved ones. Show kindness to your friends, and then you have it in your power to chastise your enemies. And these words, and with these words, he gave his hand to his sons. And then he covered his face and died. No wonder the Bible calls Cyrus a type of Christ, the great deliverer. A message for our dear friends in Iran. And you can read the Farsi up there. And you know what it means? Loretta and I have a message for you, our dear friends in Iran. And you're looking at the message up there. Please be kind and forgiving to all people. I mean to all people. And to you, the viewer, conquer your enemies, not with a gun, but with the greatest energy power in the cosmos. Conquer them with love. Father in heaven, I feel sorry for people who suffer. There are millions. And thank you for the story of Cyrus and the story of Jesus, who is on his way to come and make an end to pain, to exiles, to refugee camps, and to war. Give us peace in our minds and love for people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.